Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Past the halfway part of the broadcast week here on the show as we make the turn for home in the week. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf. NCAA basketball tournament last night, Manhattan in a lackluster game, lost to Hampton. Hampton wanted to advance, and then Kentucky will take Hampton, and they will just rip them to shreds. But Hampton will get still a $1.5 million check for being there. And then the second game was great. BYU had a 17-point lead at halftime, and then I was talking to Dick Girardi today, and he said, you know, when did you think that BYU was in trouble? I said, about 90 seconds into the second half. I could tell at that point that there was trouble the way they were shooting and where they were shooting from versus the quality of shot Ole Miss got in the first 90 seconds. Ole Miss won the game by 4 last night. And ironically, BYU went out. And after a 49-point first half, scored 41 in the second half and lost by 4 last night, 94-90. And Ole Miss advances. They now get Xavier. Coming up tonight, it is the opener. We'll have Robert Morris in action, a.k.a. B-Mo, Bobby Mo, taking on the Ospreys of North Florida, who already beat Purdue this year. North Florida actually had a couple of quality non-conference wins. The nightcap, Dayton on its home floor, will take on Boise State this evening. That's the basketball story. Now let's shift gears as promised and get to the wrestling story. The four-time defending national champion Nittany Lion wrestling team in St. Louis, but with more of a skeletal crew this time, with 7 on hand for this one, which makes it a far greater uphill task for Penn State. We bring in the outstanding play-by-play voice of Penn State wrestling, Jeff Byers. Jeff, welcome back. It is great to have you with us.
Nice to be with you. Thank you.
Jeff, different feel this time than the previous four trips?
It definitely is. I mean, Penn State is a decided underdog here this year, and I think that you can tell the approach is the same, but I think there's definitely a different feeling about this this team and the expectations surrounding it. There's just not as much firepower as what they've had in the previous four runs, and I think that this team, though, is kind of embracing the underdog role, and I think the 7 kids that they do have qualified are all excited about the opportunity, and I think all 7 truly believe they'll be on the podium on Saturday night.
Okay, that's interesting. Here's an interesting part, though. When you have won as a team 4 in a row, and it is a run of dynasty, you also develop a target on your chest. Now, it doesn't matter that that's no longer David Taylor at 165. That is still the brand Penn State across the singlet. How have they handled, especially the younger wrestlers, the target on the chest, because the gut is that you would get the best from the other guy because of the brand?
Yeah, there's no question. And I think overall this team handled that pretty well. I think there were certainly some rough patches, and I think for a couple of the freshmen in the lineup, it was a transition to kind of understand the type of intensity, especially in the Big Ten, that is required to compete at this level, and to keep that intensity for 7 minutes. And it's not an easy thing to do. It's a process. And again, some of these guys, just have that innate ability to do that right from the outset. But it's just a different level of intensity and focus than what even the best high schoolers could possibly have. So, again, overall, I think that as a team, they handled it pretty well. But I think there were certainly some individuals who went through some growing pains in that regard this season.
All right, well, Jimmy Gulabon, very talented, gutsy, overcomes a lot of odds. What do you see based on his draw? How well can he do with this?
You know, Steve, he is one of the guys that is just it's hard to get a real read on what to expect from him. What he's done in the room has been very good these couple of weeks leading into the national tournament. But he has not had a lot of success in tournament wrestling, with the exception of last year's Southern Scuffle. And so, you know, this is, and I think he knows that this is kind of a measuring stick for him. And he's a kid, that weight class is just so loaded that he's a guy that I don't think it would be shocking if he even got into the finals. I also don't think it would be shocking if he didn't even place it at 133. Realistically, I think Penn State is certainly looking for him to be a top six kind of guy here at the NCAA tournament. But that weight class is just loaded, and again, it's going to come down to those one or two point bouts, and Jimmy Gulabon's just got to find a way to win them to get high on the podium.
On paper, because obviously, here's a brilliant statement: they'll wrestle on the mat and not on paper. On paper, whose draw looks somewhat favorable, and whose draw looks, wow, that wasn't favorable at all?
Well, Morgan McIntosh, I think, has a very favorable draw to get to the semifinals at the very least, and certainly with the way he wrestled at the Big Tens. I would like his chances probably as well as anybody to get to the finals. Matt Brown obviously has a pretty good draw as well. It's just that Mike Evans is one of these guys that I just think, even though Matt Brown has kind of dominated these last two bouts, even though the scores were 2-0, I mean, Matt just controlled the action. Evans and that Iowa coaching staff, if they do beat the semifinals, will continue to mix it up. They're trying to get Matt Brown into scrambles. And so that semifinal match for Brown just I think is a little bit of a concern for Penn State. You know, Jimmy Watson has a tough draw at heavyweight, and I just I think they're not 100% sure what they're going to be getting from Jimmy with the shoulder injury that he sustained at the Big Tens. It's going to be one of those things where he has to get that out. But even his second round matchup against Michael Krause of Minnesota is certainly no gimme there for Watson. So I think he probably on paper may have the toughest draw, considering his seeding, I mean, for a seventh seed.
See, I'm not big on Evans because I don't feel like Evans wrestles to win. I think Evans wrestles to not lose.
He does, but what worries me with him, Steve, is just that you're absolutely right, and he really has not even threatened a score against Brown in these last two meetings. But when you get into those one- or two-point matches, and Evans is very good at keeping him keeping that score close, again, you get that one mistake at the edge of a mat, or you get the one scramble situation, and even if you control, it's almost like a soccer team that controls the pace of play and controls the action, but gives up that one goal and loses a 1-0 game. And I just think that's the concern for Matt Brown. Is I really think the Penn State coaches would like to see him get an early takedown and really establish a gap there, get a 3 or 4 point lead over Evans so that you're not worried about a fluky takedown in that final minute ultimately deciding your fate.
Yeah, because here at the Jordan Center, when they were wrestling, at one point I heard beep, 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 and I looked at the elephant doors. I thought a truck was backing up, and I realized it was Evans.
Yep, no question. No, he is.
He does not wrestle forward.
He is not an offensive wrestler. There's no doubt about that.
You mentioned what about McIntosh. You mentioned his draw being favorable. In a lot of ways, is this his moment because of his style and plus the draw?
Yeah, I think he believes that. I know Cal Sanderson believes that. Cal has been saying from day one that when Morgan McIntosh wrestles the way Morgan McIntosh is capable of, he can beat anybody and really by a pretty decided margin, anybody in the country. And I think Morgan this season has just kind of started to realize how good he is. I think he has figured some things out in terms of what he needs to do on the mat, and that's probably been the biggest stumbling block to him being the type of dominating wrestler that that he wants to be. And I think he finally has bought into, I have to get this done on the mat. I have to be a guy that can get over a minute in riding time. I have to be a guy that can get out against anybody. And his confidence right now is sky high. I mean, he firmly believes that this is his moment and that this will be his weekend and that he will win a national title. I'm not sure that he doesn't believe that even more than Matt Brown right now in terms of what his destiny is here this weekend.
Quick update on Mitchell Porte of Bellefonte.
Steve, he is the one guy that I think has a shot against Stever, and obviously has some work to do to get to the finals. But Mitchell is just, he is one of those kids that is just so easy to root for. He does everything the right way. He lives the right lifestyle. And you can just see his progress over the course of his career. He has gotten better and better, and he is one of the elite wrestlers in the country right now. He's obviously has maybe the most elite wrestler in the country at his weight class. But I really don't see anybody else even challenging Logan Stever this weekend. But I'm hoping Mitchell Porte obviously does get to the finals. And if he does, if he can keep that thing close going to the third period, and I think he can, that pressure does tend to mount a little bit. I mean, Logan Stever will be going for a fourth title in history, and I think Mitchell Porte will be wrestling knowing that obviously this is his last opportunity too, but without the pressure that I think Stever is going to have on him. So I think it could be a very interesting finals, and Mitchell Porte just is, I think he is focused and ready to go. I'll be surprised if he gets upset along the way to the final.
He's just had himself an incredible year. I think he's, 32-1 on the season? And that one, of course, is a 6-3 decision. I think he lost to Stever, and that's the only one that he doesn't have in his back pocket.
Right, and he wrestled a heck of a bout against Stever, and again, I think he will use that loss to be able to try to figure some things out here. They're both really good mat wrestlers, and for Mitchell Porte, it's going to be a matter of finding a way to score a takedown on Stever, and that's certainly much easier said than done, but I think Mitchell Porte may be the only guy in the country at that weight class that is capable of doing that.
Jeff, thanks so much. Enjoy it. It's always great to have you out there, and we look forward to your calls.
Thanks very much, Steve.
Jeff Byers joining us from St. Louis at the NCAA Wrestling Championships. And we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Super Mega Spectacular Sales Event for a limited time going on now.
Why are you talking like that?
Because this voice sells cars.
I thought selling great cars with the best warranty from local people you know and trust was the best way.
What about
the fact that at Sunbury Motors Kia you can get an award-winning all-new 2016 Kia Sorento with savings up to $4,400 off, or a 2015 Kia Forte as low as $15,978, and every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty.
What?
No, stop. No need for that. For great deals on great cars from a local dealership you know and trust, stop in and see Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com, where they've been selling more cars and satisfying more customers for 100 years.
Our thanks to Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com, joining us from Chicago in the NCAA basketball tournament. And our thanks to Jeff Byers, the voice of Penn State Wrestling, joining us from St. Louis at the NCAA Wrestling Championships. And, of course, it's always great to have you on board. And you can jump in at 800-795-9565 if you'd like to jump in and talk about anything dealing with sports. I don't care if you want to talk about the tournament, you want to talk about NCAA wrestling, Penn State football, spring ball, anything. All right, give us a call at 800-795-9565. We have gone through our guests, and looking forward to hearing from you. You're the ones that we want to hear from. 800-795-9565. So this is our time to talk now. A couple quick notes for you. Tomorrow's the Combine Day, Pro Day here at Penn State. They'll start in the weight room, then they'll transition over to Huluba Hall for the Combine workouts. So they'll start in the weight room tomorrow, get the 225-pound bench rolling tomorrow. Everybody is, all the senior players are participating. Mike Hall, Jesse James. This will be now the chance for Deion Barnes, who was not invited to the Combine. There are several guys that were not involved with the Combine in Indianapolis, where this is now their shot. And that will be tomorrow to go with the guys that already did the Indy Combine. There's nobody from this one sitting out. And this should bring with it the rather sizable contingent of NFL people, because the guy that really has moved up the draft board is Donovan Smith. He started at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, had a great week there, and suddenly moved himself up. He followed that up with a really good combine. Well, he's going to go out there again tomorrow, and he's drawing interest. A lot of people think he could be in the second round. Jesse James will draw interest. Mike Hall will draw interest. And there are other guys tomorrow that this is going to be their shot to do something. For example, a guy like Deion Barnes, who did not get a combine invite. Tomorrow will be his combine. So right around between 11 and noon tomorrow, they'll start with the weight portion of it. And then they'll transition to the field portion of it, which will be in Huluba Hall tomorrow, which includes the high, you know, how high can you jump? 40-yard dash, running the cone drill. Jesse James will bring a quarterback out there and throw to Jesse James and have him run pass patterns and so forth. I mean, those are some of the things that they will do tomorrow, and plus have some private time all the way through. Last year, for example, both Mike Tomlin and Chip Kelly were here for the Penn State Pro Day. Now, whether they're both here this time, we'll have to find out. I'm not surprised. Usually the Steelers almost always have somebody here. But, I mean, over the years, Tom Coughlin's come here. Marvin Lewis has come here. Tomlin's come here. Chip's been here. They don't just send scouts. Head coaches make their way into State College to be a part of this, and there'll be several here tomorrow. And the guy that has really pushed himself up the draft board has been Donovan Smith. He's the one that's done it. So 800-795-9565, then spring football for the Nittany Lions gets underway on Friday. So Friday will be the day that they get rolling with it, and they'll have Friday and Saturday this week to get things started for spring ball. There are 14 practices, and then the 15th one will be the blue-white game, which is April 18th at Beaver Stadium. You have 30 days in which to get the 15 practices in. That's all. So it'll start on Friday the 20th and then close down with the blue-white game on April 18th. So that works. And we have the NCAA tournament continuing tonight. Then 32 teams in action tomorrow with 16 games, 16 more first-round games coming up on Friday. A lot of people love to pick upsets. I think Eastern Washington is a very intriguing game against Georgetown. But felt Georgetown was overseeded again. A lot of people, though, have jumped on the Buffalo bandwagon. Don't fall prey. Because I think West Virginia is not only going to beat them, I think they're going to beat them by 10 to 20 points. So one thing everyone talks about, hey, who's hot going in? As I mentioned, the NIT is interesting. All 32 teams going in a loss. In the NCAA tournament, you have 36 teams going in a loss. Obviously, Buffalo's not one. West Virginia is. West Virginia's flat out better. And they're better in the spots where Buffalo's really good. That's a problem. But it's interesting how the NCAA committee finally put out their 1 through 68, which we'll talk about in the next half hour. But I'd like to get your questions, your comments. Can anybody beat Kentucky? Why is Villanova so underrated? What about the NCAA wrestling championships? What do you think about Mitchell Port's chances against Logan Stever? What about Morgan McIntosh? What about Matt Brown? 800-795-9565. Final half hour is an open half hour. Open lines. Our thanks to Jeff Byers at the NCAA Wrestling Championships in St. Louis for joining us. And to Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com, who joined us from Chicago earlier in the show. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, on News Radio 1070, WKOK. News is next.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K-Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. By the way, check out the Steve Jones podcast. You'll hear interviews with Jeff Byers from St. Louis at the NCAA Wrestling Championships. He was on in our previous half hour. And Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com, who joined us an hour ago on the show. Had a long lineup of guests this week, and you can check them all out on the podcast. Not a good day for another running back with the Baltimore Ravens. Bernard Pierce pulled over for DUI. Was cut today by the Ravens, and he predicted he would be cut for being pulled over for suspected DUI by police. So the former Temple running back is out with the Baltimore Ravens.
Yep.
But they still have Justin Forsett. I mean, he's the prime guy, but still, Pierce is a guy that had a lot of important carries for the Ravens, but they appear to have a near no tolerance policy, and he was cut today. Last year, there were 700 transfers in college basketball, to the point where late March and early April looked like the waiver wire. Well, Marquette junior forward Steve Taylor announced today that he plans to transfer and leave Steve Wojciechowski's program. The 1 through 68, this is what the NCAA tournament committee, this is what they feel about the field. Now, the number 68 seed in the entire field is Hampton, and they won, actually. And they're going to face Kentucky, which is the number one overall seed. Their top overall seeds in their order, this is the tournament committee. Kentucky, Villanova, the 2 overall seed. Duke is 3, and Wisconsin is 4. Virginia's 5, so that's where the rub was between Wisconsin and Virginia, not Arizona. But if you notice the way they do it, they try to regionalize things as much as possible. It's not a pure scenario. I mean, if the scenario were pure, Virginia would be in the same region as the 2 seed of Wisconsin. They aren't. It's actually Arizona, which is the 6th overall seed. Gonzaga is the 7th overall seed. Kansas, 8, Iowa State, 9, then Baylor, Oklahoma, Notre Dame. When you get to the 4 line, the number one of the 4 line is actually North Carolina. Maryland is 14th overall, Louisville, and then Georgetown. North Carolina and Maryland are deserving of 4 seeds. In my opinion, Northern Iowa and Utah should have replaced Louisville and Georgetown. Utah is 17 on the 5 line. So they're the number one 5 seed. Arkansas 18, not a big believer. West Virginia 19, I am a believer. And Northern Iowa 20, I'm a believer there too. The six seeds are all very weak in a relative sense. SMU at 21, Providence at 22, Butler at 23, and Xavier at 24. Seven seeds, really good group of seven seeds. Michigan State's really good. Wichita State's really good. Iowa is really good. In fact, I think Iowa's going to beat Gonzaga. Why? They have length, and Aaron White is a better version of Kyle Wilcher than Kyle Wilcher is. Aaron White's a better player. The same kind of guy, he's just better. The Pangos is a tough handle. Gazelle would have to do a good job with him. VCU is 28. Now you get to the eight seeds. It's actually a good group of eight seeds. Cincinnati, it's okay. Oregon's really good. I like Oregon. NC State's not bad. San Diego State at 32. The nine seeds, not intriguing. St. John's at 33, Oklahoma State at 34, LSU at 35, and Purdue at 36. The 10 seeds, again, not much to choose from. I'm shocked Indiana's a 10, but they're the 37th overall team in the tournament. 37th. They're the number one 10 seed. When it came up on the board, Indiana was the first Big Ten team up on the board, and they were 10th. I thought, wow. Because many people thought they had maybe gone to the first four out. And instead, they were not only in, they were way in. And based on this, they were way in. Davidson's a very good team at 38. Bob McKillop is an outstanding coach. Ohio State, they can win around. They can beat VCU. They've got D'Angelo Russell. And Georgia, no fan. I'm no fan. Texas on the 11 seeds is 41. Now, I do have them beating Xavier in the opening round. Or no, not Xavier. Who are they playing? Not playing Xavier. They are playing, where's the Xavier group? They're playing Butler in the opening round. I think they'll beat Butler. But I'm not crazy about them being in. UCLA's 42. Ole Miss is actually 43 and BYU's 44. That's why you saw Ole Miss wear the white jerseys last night. Dayton will play on its home floor tonight. They'll wear their red jerseys tonight. Reason? Boise State's actually ahead of them at 45. Wyoming's 47. Buffalo's 48. And then we get into the Kevin Herr group. What about the little guy? Yeah, yeah. Wofford 49. Look, can I say this so that people understand this? I respect all these teams. I talk all the time about this team's good, that team's good. You know, Belmont's a good basketball team. All of these are a good basketball team. Harvard, Wofford. Wofford's really good. But if Penn State were to schedule these teams, the hue and cry that would go up from the masses. What the heck kind of weak schedule are you playing? Yet, oh, everybody's for the little guy. Buffalo, you know, everybody's on the Buffalo bandwagon. West Virginia's going to crush Buffalo. Everyone's on the Buffalo bandwagon. If Penn State scheduled Buffalo, you'd all be looking at each other like, the heck are they scheduling Buffalo for? Oh, but this week they're all on the Buffalo bandwagon. Okay, I got you. Buffalo 48, Wofford 49, Stephen F. Austin. You know I'm right, okay? You'd be saying, what a weak schedule. Why are they scheduling these teams? Well, you know, and you try to tell them, well, this team is actually good. That team, you know, and I, you know what? And I've given up on that. I've given up. You don't know. That's your business. I'm just, you know, I'll give you my opinion. Then after that, I'm not going to worry about convincing you. You know, I've done this for a few years. Stephen F. Austin's 50, Valpo's 51, Harvard's 52, Eastern Washington is 53. They're a volume-shooting three-point team. They beat Indiana in Bloomington. Anteaters of Cal Irvine are 54, Georgia State's 55, Northeastern 56, UAB is 57, Albany is 58, New Mexico State 59, Belmont is 60, Texas Southern 61, surprisingly, North Dakota State's only 62. Lafayette, you'll love this. Lafayette, 63. Lafayette, Fran O'Hanlon at Lafayette runs beautiful offense, great offense. But they can't play defense to save their souls. They are 35th in the nation in offense. They are 335th, a 300 difference in defensive efficiency. That's the largest spread of any team in the tournament. 300 between offensive and defensive efficiency, Lafayette. Coastal Carolina, 64. North Florida, which plays tonight, is 65. Robert Morris is 66. Manhattan, which is now out of the tournament, 67. And Hampton is 68. So that's how the NCAA tournament committee put them out 1 through 68 on their board. So maybe that gives you a better insight as to what they're thinking. Scott Fujita, good linebacker in the NFL, says he chickened out when he considered a Chris Borland-type retirement. And which is interesting. Some people feel it is a tipping point, the Borland retirement. I say no unless there are a rash of them. If there's a rash of them, then we can look back at the Chris Borland decision as a tipping point. But until I see a rash of them, I'm not going to look at Chris Borland as a tipping point. I'm going to look at it as an individual decision. If suddenly we have four or five guys come out and say they're retiring for this reason, then I'll call Chris Borland a tipping point. But until then, no. Now, chronic CTE, according to Steelers neurosurgeon, Dr. Joseph Maroon, says it's a rare phenomenon. And youth football, according to Dr. Maroon, is safer than riding a bike or a skateboard. Now, Borland told ESPN's Outside the Lines this week that he wanted to protect himself from the risk of future brain injury. So Dr. Maroon then appeared on the NFL Network, and he advises the NFL on head, neck, spine injuries, and so forth, and said the game's never been safer. Downplayed CTE based on current data. He said that the problem of CTE, although real, is it's being exaggerated and being extrapolated to youth football and to high school football. Strong and interesting comments from Dr. Maroon. He said he's reviewed all known cases of CTE. And so those who have an understanding of this, CTE is a progressive degenerative brain disease, and it's related to head trauma. And it's been found in dozens of retired athletes and in other sports, especially between 1954 and 2013. He said that in the last 2 years, they came up with 63 total cases. He said, but there have been 30 to 40 million kids who have played football during that same period of time. He said, we have 63 total cases. He says, it's a rare phenomenon. We have no idea the incidents. He said, there are more injuries to kids falling off bikes, scooters, and falling in the playground than there actually happen to be in youth football. So I think, again, it's never been safer. Can we improve? Yes. Yes, we have to do a better job all the time to make it safer. Chris Nowinski, who's with the Boston-based Sports Legal Institute, did disagree with Dr. Maroon. Said the Centers for Disease Control found that regarding concussions, football is the most dangerous activity for boys 10 to 14, causing more emergency department visits for brain injuries than both kids riding a bike or a skateboard. He said for ages 5 to 9, there are more brain injuries resulting from football than skateboarding. Kids aren't playing football five tonight. What the heck is he talking about? That's a bizarre statement. Common sense tells you that's not true. Most likely reason for that more 5 to 9-year-old boys go to the ER with brain injuries resulting from bike accidents, that far more boys ride bikes than play football. No kidding. Gee. Common sense award. See, you got to have common sense and not advance an agenda. I mean, I'm sick of somebody advancing agenda. Just tell me the truth. I'm sick of agendas. Just tell me the truth. I'm smart enough to make up my own mind after that. So that's a couple of different opinions on it. And look, let's give Borland credit. And look, sports is something where if you fear an injury, unfortunately, now you're talking about self-fulfilled prophecy. If you fear it, you're not going to play the same way, and it may actually lead to it happening. And I give the guy a lot of credit. I don't, you know, unless you see suddenly 5, 6, 7, 8 cases of guys walking away from the game and citing this reason, the Borland situation will not be a tipping point. It will just be an individual decision and an isolated incident. I give him credit. This is, you know, it's his life. So he's made a decision on his life. You can't be critical of him. He made a decision in his best interest. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 W. Drew Kelly on drums. Do you know how much money it took for me to say, come on, Drew, I need something for the show? And he said, all right. Took the sticks, and this is what he did.
Made it snazzy.
Had to. I said, look, Drew, you're worth it. I said, come on, bang out a tune. All right. Wrapping up for today. Sarah, it's been great having you with us the last 3 days. The Prince of Peace will be back tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Don't laugh. See, every time I do this, you start laughing, and it just...
I do, because it's just, you know, so accurate.
You know of whom I speak.
I think we all do.
Oh, he sent me a text, by the way. I've had plenty of time to listen to CBS's selection show on Sirius. I've heard 3 hours of overanalyzation. That's what these shows do. Okay, here's how I analyze the tournament. West Virginia, Buffalo. They're trying to convince you they're going to win. They won't. There's your analyzation. West Virginia, okay, Buffalo has an excellent backcourt. West Virginia's is way better. We're done. How much analysis do you want? Kentucky, 40-0. Okay, analysis over. Sure. Does my show end quicker because of it? Could I drag it out into infinity? Now let's take a look at the Xavier game against Ole Miss. What do you think? Let's break it down for you. Now, we're very simple here. Who can beat them? Who can beat Kentucky? Villanova, nobody talks about. You want to know why nobody talks about Villanova? Because they don't play on ESPN. There's nothing, and this is not an anti-ESPN commentary. This is actually a pro-ESPN commentary. It's quite the opposite. When you look at the Big East contract, from the end of December through now, not one Big East team has appeared on ESPN. 1.3 to 1.4 million viewers a night watch college basketball on ESPN. It absolutely dwarfs Fox Sports 1's coverage of college basketball 10 to 1. So a lot of people haven't seen Villanova play. Just haven't seen them. Haven't been on the radar. Yeah, they'll show up on a highlight package on ESPN. But, I mean, the analysts are breaking down their games as to what they're doing during the course of the night, as they should. And that's one of the areas where Jim Delaney is taking a long, hard look. Idealistically, you would like to take, because the Big Ten package is up in 2 years, idealistically, you would like to pit ESPN against Fox Sports and then make them submit huge bids and take the best one and run with it. But here's the issue. Fox Sports has no issue coming up with cash. We know that. Look what they've bid on the NFL. Look what they've bid on NASCAR. Look what they've done with Major League Baseball. I mean, they have money. They bid it. So Fox Sports, when it comes to the cash, they can equal the cash of ESPN or better it. But the difference is, by going there, and Fox Sports is desperate to have a signature college entity that they can put on over-the-air Fox, and especially a signature college entity that they can put on Fox Sports 1. But the issue is, if you go there, do you then enter the college version of the Witness Protection Program? And what's happened in 2 years with the Big East is that a lot of people have not watched Big East basketball, and notice how no one talks about Villanova going into the NCAA tournament. The talk is about Kentucky, obviously, Wisconsin, Virginia, Duke, Arizona. That's where all the talk is. Who's the only number one seed no one ever talks about? The one you never see on ESPN, Villanova. Yet they're a team that stylistically, because they have six guys that can shoot 37% or better from the three-point line, and they have eight guys that competently shoot the three-point shot, they could bomb in 15, 16 threes against a team like Kentucky and change the dynamics of the game because of the value of the shot. But nobody ever talks about that. Why? Because nobody has seen them play a game for 2.5 months. All right, back tomorrow. Games being played tomorrow. We'll have updates for you here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.